God for what he's doing. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. And I want to say this before we get into the scripture. At Hiram First Baptist Church, the altars are always open. And we use the altar. You know, there are churches you go to today, they don't give an altar call. They seldom have an altar. I still believe it's a place where you go do business with God. And sometimes when God begins to pull on your heart, you know the time to move is right then. Amen. Now you can wait. You say, well, I'll pray when I get home. Well, you might get home and get distracted. You might get home and find that the Holy Spirit's not moving on you like it was when you're sitting in the presence of God in God's house. And here's what will happen. You say, would you excuse me and let me out? And when you come down and you get, here's what's going to happen. You're going to find that that person you said, excuse me too, they might be right beside you. See, because you might be the one that God is dealing with, and in order for things just to break loose, you know what has to happen? Somebody's got to be obedient to God. And if God speaks to you, please be obedient to him. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about him. If you got your Bible this morning, we're going to be reading in the book of Joel. The Old Testament book, 3 chapters long, right after Hosea. And right before Amos, those are all going to be hard to find because they're all little bitty. We're going to put some scripture up here, and I'm going to try to bring a message. I've never preached on this subject, and this is just something that was on my heart. And here's what happens between me and the Lord. He'll give me a thought, and I'll try to argue with him. I say, God, I can't preach on that. There ain't enough in there. And all of a sudden, he shows me. I don't know what I'm talking about. And then I say, Lord, that's too much. I can't preach on all that. And that's kind of the way it is this morning. I'm just going to try to follow the Lord. And I'm going to preach on this subject, the God of the locust. And I want to read this scripture, and we want to look at it historically. And then I want to talk a little bit about understanding the locust. Then I want to bring it back. And this is something we need to do every time we come into the house of God. When I come into the house of God, I want God to speak to me. I want God to help me. I want God to teach me and show me. And you know, everything that's written in God's Word, he's given it there as an example for you and I so that we'd know how to live, so that we'd know how to move, so that we would know how to be what God wants us to be. And I want to tell you this morning. God has a plan for your life. I don't care what you've heard. I don't care what anybody said to you. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what the devil said. God has a plan for your life. Now, in the book of Joel, chapter number 1, we're going to read just a couple of verses. And then we're going to the book of Joel, chapter number 2, and verse 25. But in Joel, chapter number 1, the first 4 verses we're going to read. It says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath eaten, hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Now I want to also flip over to the 2nd chapter, and I want to read the 25th and the 26th verse. And then I want to talk just a little bit about this scripture to give you some historical background. But as it goes on and Joel is prophesying to the people, he brings these verses to them from the Lord. He said, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now, just a little bit about Joel. His name in Hebrew is Yoel, with a Y, you would pronounce it. The name means Yahweh or Jehovah is God. It's said, and I've heard it said, that a lot of times a parent will give a child a name. You know, I tell people, my boys are Matthew and Luke, and they say, well, where's Mark and John? I said, her name's Jessica. But names mean something in the Word of God. Now, when we look at this scripture, I want us to look at it from a historical background. Joel was a prophet. He was a prophet of God, and he came to speak to the people. And what he did is he pronounced judgment on Judah, or judgment on Israel. You see, you ask the question, why did the locust come? Well, if you study historically, you see that the people of God, the children of God, that Israel, that Judah, had been disobedient to God. They would not follow him. They would not serve him. They served other gods. They served false gods. They went their own way. They would not do what God had for them to do. Well, then we look and we see, well, where did the locust come from? If you go over to that 25th verse that I read, the last part of the verse, the scripture says, "My great army that I sent among you." You see, the locust came from God. God sent them to destroy the land, and he sent them because the people were disobedient. Now, what I want us to understand when we look at this, and we look at this locust and this caterpillar, this palmer worm and canker worm, that these were commanded by God. The people were disobedient. There was sin in the land, and God had poured out his blessings on them. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I sit here this morning, and I thought about it, and, you know, the power went out, and they said, you know, we used to, you know, go to church, and we didn't have electricity. I heard somebody mention to me this morning, and just to tell you, you know, it's getting distant. Young people, y'all don't know what an outside toilet is. Y'all praise Jesus for that. Y'all don't know what it's like not to have color TV. Some of you were born in the time all you've had is an iPhone. I still don't even know how to fully use the thing. But can I tell you, we're blessed? I sat here this morning and I thought, Lord, that air's got to come back on. We are blessed. We are blessed in America. We are blessed when we go to the supermarket and we look and there's every type of vegetable. There's every type of fruit. And we go over here and you know what our problem is today? We've got so much that we're like the Bible says, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. We're blessed. God's people were blessed, but they turned their backs on him. And he said, I'm going to send something among you that even you old ones have never seen. And he said, when you go through this, you tell it to your children and to their children, because I don't want you to forget it. I don't want you to forget this lesson. I don't want you to forget what I'm going to do among you. Now let's think about it for just a minute. The locust. Understand what happened. The word locust means to multiply or swarm. Now, if you look at these different types of, he said, the locust, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm. See, the canker worm, it means to lick, or hopping locust. The palmer worm means to cut off, or cutting locust. And the word caterpillar, it means to consume. It is a devouring crawler. And the thing about caterpillars, some of them sting. In fact, they sting pretty bad. You see, these things are sent, if you look at the Word of God, as a threatening or as a direct punishment in the Word of God for wrongdoing. And I can confirm that because you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 42, it says this, all thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. Now, the reason that verse is in that chapter is if you go to the first part of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, God's got all this list of things. He said, here's what I'm going to do for you if you obey me. And he goes through blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. He said, if you'll just be obedient, he said, I'll pour out blessing upon you. Can I tell you that God wants to bless you? He wants to bless you. But then you go farther in that chapter. He said, but beware. Beware lest you be disobedient and you turn your back on me. And then he goes into the cursings of disobedience. You see, the locust is known in the Bible as a destroyer for its ability to destroy the land as it passes through. Now, as I was studying this, and this can be confirmed, you can go and look it up, and you can look at what a swarm of locusts can do, but I looked at a picture over in Palestine of an olive tree. And there was a man under that tree, and that tree was in full bloom, and it was full of leaves, and it was full of fruit. And they showed a picture of that tree 15 minutes later after a swarm of locusts had come through, and it looked like it had been set on fire. It did not have a leaf. It did not have a piece of fruit, because that is the damage that the locusts will do. We know that when Moses went to deliver the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 10, the eighth plague was a plague of locust. The locust would come in and it would devour everything. Now, if you go to Exodus chapter number 10, I want to read the fifth verse. It says, "They shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians." You see, when the locusts come in, and God sent this army of locusts, as it comes across the land, it's like Hurricane Katrina. You look at it before, and you see everything standing, and all the houses, and all the vegetation, and you look at it after, and everything's destroyed. You see, farmers, when there was no ability to fight against this, sometimes would plant a crop and the locusts would move through. And as the locusts moved through, everything that lived would be destroyed and devoured. I don't want locusts in my life. But sometimes we have them. Sometimes the locust comes. Sometimes the locust comes in our life. It comes in our circumstances. I don't want the locust to come to America. I don't want the locust in my home, and I don't want the locust to Hiram First Baptist Church. Can I tell you that there are churches today where the locust has moved through because the people weren't obedient to God? The Spirit's not welcome anymore. There's no worship anymore. There's no thriving anymore. I want us to look at and think for just a few minutes. From a spiritual or practical application, what brings the locust in our lives? You see, the same things that bring the locust in our lives, it's very similar to what brought the locust in the lives of the children of Israel. And here's the first one. Just bad living. What's bad living? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says this. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Here's the three principles of reaping. You reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later than you sow. Amen. You know, I get excited about this time of the year. It's the only time that I want anything to grow. Now, y'all know some of you what I'm talking about. I don't really plant much grass seed. I don't care about that. You know, I just want to run across it as fast as I can, move on. When I was a kid, my mama used to plant these flowers. I can remember getting whoopings for cutting them down with a lawnmower. Right now, though, I'm ready to plant my food plots. And I want to plant for the animals. And I was in the store the other day, and I looked at this bag, and it was trying to convince me it was everything that I needed on the outside. I started reading what it said. Here's what I want you to understand. If it says corn, don't expect wheat to grow. If it says oats, don't expect ryegrass. And what God wants us to understand in our own lives is whatever seed we plant, that's the seed that's going to grow. And what we plant is what's going to sprout up. And that one grain of corn will grow a stalk that will have multiple ears with multiple grains on it. You reap what you sow, more than you sow, later than you sow. And we wonder sometimes why we have locusts in our lives. It is because everything we have been doing is not pleasing to God. And He's not going to be mocked. He's God. We're not. What else brings locusts in our lives? Bad living is one. Here's another one. Bad choices. You know, I love to see my little grandkids. And folks, my goal, I'm going to have to see them more often than twice a year. Okay? Amen. We're going to have to at least see them once a quarter. I can't stand this. Every time I see them, they've changed so much. But I was with my little grandson recently, and I did something. He looked at me, and he said, "You're not making good choices, Paw." They're growing. And I had to listen to what he said. But you know, the Bible tells us, for the sake of time, I don't have time to read it all, but you need to read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 17. I'm going to give you the 17th verse. It says this: "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, here's what the Bible tells us. Jesus said, "After I leave, I will send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he shall guide you and direct you in all things." Now, how many of you have ever had this thing going on in your life, and all of a sudden, I just felt like, it seemed like this little voice just spoke to me. Something told me. Maybe as a Christian, we need to pay more attention and listen for God to speak to us as a still small voice, not to push it away, but pay attention. Because if you're saved by the grace of God and God dwells within you, every choice that you make, God needs to be involved in it. Doesn't the Bible say all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord? My choices matter. James 4:17 says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You know, there's been times that I feel like I just need to do so and so. How many of you have ever got a hankering for something? You know how you go in, this is with me. You go in the store and you see something. And I've even had this. I say, "Well, Lord, why did they make all that good stuff if I'm not supposed to have it?" Now, I know I don't need it, but I'm rationalizing it at this point. And I'm looking, and I go back and I look, and I've even told myself, just stop going to look. You know, sometimes we make bad choices. We create situations in our own lives that nobody can help us with, because every time, you know, the truth is, every time you help somebody out of a situation when they're like that, they're going to be right back in the same place. Until they learn to listen to God and make the right choices and allow God to be number one in their life. It don't matter how much money you get them. It don't matter how much you do for them. They're never going to be any better. I've seen people, they have some turn of events in their life, and all of a sudden they got a couple of $100,000 in the bank. You know what happens 2 years later? They're in the exact same shape that they were on day one. You know why? Because the way they make decisions has never changed. See, you got bad living, it brings locust. Folks, I want to tell you, bad choices brings locust. Amen. I want to tell you something else that brings locust. Bad company. Amen. Bad company. You see, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this: "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Now, here's the point. You know, we're in church this morning. This is a good place to be. People say, "Well, I'm not going to church. There's just a bunch of hypocrites down there." Just, I heard Brother Quinn, what was it he said? "Come on, there'll be one more." Okay? But at least here you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit. God's moving and God can work in your life. But you know what people do? They wonder why in the world they can't feel what they need to feel on Sunday morning. It might be because of where you was at on Saturday night. See, maybe them people that you're hanging around and them things you're doing, you don't need to be around them because of the influence that they have on your life. You know, if I had a problem with drugs, I tell you one thing I wouldn't do. I wouldn't be hanging around with somebody that took them all the time. Bad company. It matters who you hang around with. And let me tell you something, young people. It's okay to be the only one not invited to the party. I remember when I was growing up, I felt like I was an outcast. I felt like I was a loner. I didn't feel like I fit in. You know why? It was because I did not fit in. And until I got to the point I was willing to be what God wanted me to be, I never would have had a place. Because I was born again at 12 years old, called to preach in the ninth grade. I couldn't go to a party and have fun. The Holy Spirit wore me out. You know, bad company brings locusts. Sometimes all you got to do is be in the car at the wrong time. See, you don't have to be the one that took the 3-pound hammer and ran up to the Coke machine and knocked the lock off of it. You don't have to be the one that took the crowbar and broke open the Avail machine. You just got to be sitting in the back seat. See, bad company brings locusts. I've heard more than one young man say, well, I didn't do it. I was just with them. You know you shouldn't have been with them. What else brings locusts? And I know this is real. Sometimes it's just bad times. What are bad times? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says this. Says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. What about when you are trying to serve God? And I can remember watching some of those stories around the turn of the century and during the Depression times, when a farmer would go out and he would take everything that he had. And he would buy seed and he would plow the ground and he would plant the seed and the rain didn't come. Or he would plant the seed and too much rain would come. Or he would plant the seed and the locust would come. Or he would plant the seed and the dust bowl would come. And you wonder, where are you? God, all I've tried to do all my life is live for you. God, all I've tried to do all my life is be what you want me to be. And I just do not understand why I'm facing what I'm facing today. God, why is this happening to me? God, why are we facing this trial? You know, the truth is, when we hear a message like this, all of a sudden you can say, well, I don't fit in that group, or I don't fit in that group. But I want to tell you something. Every one of us in here today, we have situations in our life that we don't understand. And we start searching and asking and looking, saying, God, where are you? What are you going to do? God, will you help me get through this? And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter which situation you're in. I don't care if it's bad living, bad choices, bad company, or bad times. I serve a God. We're not done. We're just getting going. Here, I want to get you to understand something. He's a God of restoration. What did he say? I love the part, and I tell you what was on my heart so much. He said, I will restore the years that the locust hath eaten. Now, here's the thing to understand sometimes in our lives. When we've got locusts in our lives, sometimes it's years. It's not just a bad time. Sometimes it's something that you can get so wore out and beat down by that if God don't move on you, you'll never be restored. That's when you have to be careful what voices you're listening to. You see, that's when the devil comes and he'll whisper to you. And he will. He'll say, you'll never make it. He'll say this. He'll say, you're never going to get through this. But I want to remind you, the devil is a liar. Amen. Sometimes I've seen people get down and the devil come. He'll say, well, you'll never get back on your feet. Maybe you're even having a trouble in relationships and the devil wants you to think you can never be restored. That's not true. See, the devil wants you to believe that just absolutely too much has been devoured by the locust for anything to ever be any better for you. But he's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. You see, what it takes is it takes God coming and moving. It takes God. Now, here's what I want us to remember. The title of this message is God of the Locust. If you look at what happened in the book of Joel, because of their disobedience, he sent the locust. Now, sometimes the locust is sent. Sometimes the Bible says in the book of Matthew, God said, I will send my rain on the just and the unjust alike. He said, I'll cause the sun to shine on them. And here's what I want you to understand. Let's be real careful that we don't take everything in our life and blame it on God. Don't blame everything on God. Here's what people do sometimes. They say, well, if it wasn't God's will, hold on. Hold on. Not everything that happens is God's will. Can I tell you that the Bible tells us that it says it is not His will that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. You ever see somebody go through something and it's tragedy, and the only way people know how to respond to it is they say, well, it must have been God's will. Be careful. I ain't going to tell a parent that's lost a teenage girl where some maniac took her and killed her and buried her under the back porch and say, well, if it wasn't God's will. I want to tell you something. There's a lot that happens that is not God's will. So don't listen to the devil. What I want you to understand about the God of the locust is He can make them go away. He can make them go away. Every day in my life when I get up and I do the things that I do, I ask God to give me strength. I ask God to give me blessing. I ask God to put His hand on me. I pray the prayer of Jabez. I had it written on my wall. I say, oh Lord, that You would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that Your hand would be with me and that You'd keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me. Every element of it, I want God in my life because I know He can make the locusts go away. You see, He's a God of restoration. He said, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You can say, well, you don't know my circumstances. I want you to know that God loves you right where you are, just like you are. That's why y'all got to sing that song again in a minute, okay? Amen. Just like you are. He's not wanting you to bring anything other than a broken heart and lay it at His feet and say, Lord, be the Lord of my life. I love the verse in Psalms 103, verse 9. It says, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. You know what it's like raising children? You have to sometimes discipline them. It's hard for me to do. Because, you know, I have spanked them and I said, now come here, let me hug you. Do you know that God wants to wrap His arms around you? He wants to. He wants to restore. He wants to redirect. Now, here's what redirecting is, folks. It's a different road. He wants to put you on a different road, your life on a different road. And I've heard it said this way, it's a different dude in a different mood. That's right. That's why here's what God does. He's not trying to make you somebody else's impersonation. He wants to take you and make you the very best you that you can be. And He'll use you for His honor and glory with the personality that you've got. And He'll lift you up to where He'll shine you. And He'll put you on a shelf. And He'll say, look at my child. The world and the devil say, well, don't you know about them? He said, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, I don't know about it. I forgot all that. It's gone. See, He's a God of restoration. He's a God of redirection. He's also a God of blessing. You know, He's blessing. Joel 2 and 26, the first part of the verse, He says this, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God and none else. You see, God can bless. I don't want to bless myself. I'm not capable. Sometimes I've heard, you know, I've interviewed people all the time, and you know, you get these arrogant ones. I had them sit down in front of me, and they'd say, I graduated from so-and-so, and I should make so-and-so. I said, well, have you ever done this before? No, you're a trainee. You're a trainee. I don't care where you went to school. I want to tell you something. I don't know what you think. But all it's going to take is for God to remove His hand and you'll find out what you are. Amen. That's the last thing I want in my life is for God to ever remove His hand. I can't brag about anything I can do. I didn't choose to be male or female. I didn't choose to be black or white. And if I have talent or don't have it, it's not because of me. It's because the Lord God the Father has given it to me. And everything He gives me, I'm supposed to give back to Him. So He's a God of blessing. And I like this one, Brother Tom. He's a God of recovery. Look at the latter part of this 26th verse, and let's look at the 27th verse in Joel chapter 2. He says, "And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else." And again he says it, "And my people shall never be ashamed." How do you know you've recovered? It's when God takes your shame away. You've got recovery. Because you know why? It doesn't matter what people say about you. It don't matter what people label on you. You say, "God changed my heart. God changed my life. He changed my circumstances. And I'm a new creation, a new creature in Him." So He's a God of recovery. Now, I like all these things. And I want these things in my life. Do you want these things in your life? You know, I was studying this. I said, "God, I can't preach on that. There ain't nothing there." Finally, I said, "Lord, I got to quit studying." Here's how you get these things in your life. Very familiar scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But let's go back to the 13th verse and read what it says. This is God speaking. He said, "If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." That's a prerequisite to verse 14. If I command the locust or I send pestilence, here's what he's saying. This is all God wants. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So here's the formula for God's blessing. Here's the formula for getting all the locusts out of your life. Number one, humble yourself. That's why we come and pray. I'd rather humble myself than have God humble me. You know, the Bible says, and it's going to happen, folks, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Humble yourselves. Number two, pray. Pray. You know, my kids worry me to death when they want something. They do. My son has worried me to death about a jacked up truck. Just every day. You know, sometimes you get to the point, it's like, you know why you go to, you go just, you know why you do that? They know they eventually get it. Do you know all God knows what you need. You know why He wants you to pray? Because He wants you. You. And He wants to bless you. Then He says, "Seek my face." What is that? That's just being in His presence. Again, He wants you. But then He says this, and this is redirection. Turn. God's not going to be mocked. Say, "Well, I want all of God's blessings. I'm just not willing to turn." You're reaping what you've sown. You got to turn. Now, here's what God will do, and I'm going to ask these singers to come on and get ready to sing. Here's what will God do if we do what He's asked us to do? He said, "I'm going to hear from heaven." Yes. You know, we have prayer requests. We asked for one this morning. I had another couple of them given to me this morning. God hears those. He wants you to ask. He said, "I'll hear from heaven," and the most important thing He'll do, He said, "I'll forgive your sin." Now, folks, God can solve your problems. He can handle that. The greatest thing anybody ever needs in their life is a personal relationship with a living God. He said, "I'm going to forgive their sin." This is what He says. "Then I'll heal their land." We got a problem in America today. You go into certain parts of this country and there's a murder. In some places, every hour. People are dying every day with drug overdoses, and we've got a problem today in America. You know what people need? To get on their face before Jesus and say, "Lord, I want to humble myself. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek your face. And Lord, you're God. I'm not. I'm going to turn from my way and follow you." Would you rise to your feet this morning as they sing this song? And if you're here and God spoke to your heart and you say, "Well, I don't have anything in my life." Well, what about the people around you? Do you know anybody that the locust has devoured? These people need prayer. If we're going to see people saved, we need to do it. Because Jesus is coming soon. And our door of opportunity is going to be closed. As they sing, would you please come and pray?